The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Have we been to the throne room today? Have we seen the face of God? Now, we started a series of 3 B's for 2023. And our key verses are in 1 Thessalonians. And today, as you know, we've been focusing on prayer. Pray continually, the verse says. And it is stated in such a way as, you all pray continually. You know, it's something that we can choose to do or choose not to do. And the continually, I think, is the part that kind of gets me. Like, am I just supposed to go in a closet and all day just pray? No. I like the way Dr. Cook used to say it at the college I went to. Pray your way through the day. Intersperse your day with praying. And that just makes sense to me. So I can pray at any time, in any place, and I can pray my way through the day. In other places in this letter, he talks about giving thanks continually. So those two seem to go together. Now, David reminded us that the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, is all in plural pronouns. So we are called to pray for one another and with one another. He also reminded us that we're to exalt God. You know, and I think that really helps me in my praying. If I sing a praise song or I listen to something like that, it gets me, my eyes on God and who I'm praying to, see? And I think there's something really to that. The old acrostic for prayer was ACTS, and A is adoration, and then confession and thanksgiving, and then supplication or ask and request. So I appreciate that. And then Ed goes to this beautiful verse in Hebrews 5:7. As I stand before you today, I cannot tell you what that verse meant to me when I was a young pastor. Now, obviously, that was decades and decades ago. What God impressed me about life, and it was true for me as a pastor, but it's true for all of us, I thought life was going to be easy. And I discovered it wasn't easy for Jesus. And that praying, often withdrawing to lonely places to pray, was part of the pattern of his life that gave him strength. And I concluded, if Jesus had to pray, how about me? Right? Even more. And that really encouraged me to go to God more often and more desperate. I just find it interesting that he was praying with fervent cries and tears. And this is Jesus. He's not praying that way because he sinned. He's praying that way because he lives in this world. And that just encouraged me so much, and it has to this day. So let's be honest. Some of our best praying has been done when we were desperate. And laments. You know, that's just really interesting that even in the case of Jesus, now obviously at the Garden of Gethsemane, that's like the highlight of this, but this is happening all throughout his life. And I found that very, very encouraging. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Luke 18, and I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I promise a few, to talk about a parable that Jesus gave. Now, in this parable, Luke 18 begins with him telling them a parable about prayer, and then this parable shows up, and then right after this, it's Jesus with children. Very interesting context. So he says that he told this parable to some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. Now, obviously, none of us here would ever admit to that. But at times, we can fall into this trap. They were confident, fully persuaded that they were righteous, that they were right. They did it right, they said it right, they acted right. And they're the victim because everybody else mistreats them. And they looked down on everybody else. The NAS says they viewed others with contempt, as though everybody else had no merit. And what's really frightening is the way this is stated, this was a constant in their lives. Right? This just didn't happen intermittently. They were constantly looking down on others and exalting themselves. Now, to illustrate that, Jesus tells about two men, two Jewish men, who went to the temple to pray. And that's good. It actually says they went up to the temple to pray. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know that the temple is on the mount, and you would actually walk up to go to the temple. So in that way, they're similar, but that's where it ends. Everything else is a contrast, and that's what we want to look at today, just briefly. Who was praying? In the first case, it is a Pharisee. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Now, the Pharisees, the word Pharisee meant to be separate. And they wanted to separate themselves from everybody else because in many ways they felt they were better than everybody else. And they fit the description already given about looking down on other people. They had strict rules about everything. Have you read in Scripture where, you know, they challenge Jesus, your disciples don't wash properly? Sounds like a COVID command. I learned how to wash my hands during COVID, right? Well, let me explain to you just exactly how the Pharisees taught people to wash their hands, all right? And if you don't do this just the way they say, you're guilty of sin, all right? That's how incredible this is. Washing your hands to eat food was a grave sin if you didn't do it, leading to poverty and disaster, William Barclay writes. In general, this is obviously a good, healthy rule. But the hands had to be washed in a certain way. Water had to be specially kept. At least as much as a quarter of a log must be used, enough to fill 1.5 eggshells. The water was poured over both hands, and each hand was cleansed by rubbing it with the fist of the other. Finally, the hands were held up, and the water must run down the length of your wrist all the way to your elbow and run off. And then the whole business was repeated, but this time the hands were held down, pointing down, and the water had to run off your fingertips. If anything was altered or omitted, it was a deadly sin. Wow. This is the way these people lived. Saul, the Apostle Paul, was once a Pharisee. He says in Philippians, I've obeyed all the rules. It's a tough way to live. It's a tough way to always be measuring your performance against others. Now, they believed in the literal understanding of the Old Testament. They believed all the Old Testament, and they were very literal in their understanding of it. And then, of course, they added all these extra rules, which in many ways, Jesus said, discounted God's original intent. But that's the Pharisee. And he comes to the temple to pray. Now, the tax collector is a totally different kind of person. I don't know what you think of tax collectors today. One of my best friends in New Jersey was a tax collector. I used to kid him all the time when we get to passages like this. But the Jewish people that were collecting taxes were despised by the community. They were working for the Roman government, the government that was oppressing them. And the tax collectors were generally understood to be thieves, not only because they gathered taxes for the government, but they often added extra tax, and the government, the Roman government, didn't care. So like Zacchaeus, the wee little man who was a tax collector, you know, he admitted that he'd pay back if he mischarged people. So that was the general pattern of tax collectors. Now, I discovered that there were three main taxes that the Romans put on people. The first was a poll tax. That's just because you're alive. Sounds like America. You get taxed just because you're alive. You've taken up breath. And then there was a land tax. And finally, there was an income tax. But again, as I said, they were often cheating. Actually, Luke, who is a Gentile himself, mentions tax collectors more than the other gospel writers. Sometimes they're in positive light, as is the case in this parable. Well, how did they pray? The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." Haughty is saying it nicely, right? That is just a really strange statement. It really isn't a prayer. I mean, truth is, he stands by himself. He wants to be noticed by everybody in the crowd. Oh, there he is, praying. No doubt he prayed out loud. No doubt he prayed with a loud voice. And he actually, the text says, he's in his own presence. It's sad. And he's very self-assured, isn't he? He's very proud. Now, the tax collector, in contrast, the text says, the tax collector stood at a distance. He barely got into the temple. He's over in the corner somewhere. He's at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Great contrast. He is exceedingly humble. This matter of beating the breast is a sign of remorse. It's a sign of grief. And he won't even look up to heaven. Jews generally did pray that way. One of my prophets said, because they actually expected God to answer. You know, they looked up. But this man is bowed down, and he's standing at a distance, and he's very humble. Now, the greatest contrast may be in what they're praying, because as we just read of the Pharisee, he does address God, but he really doesn't care if God hears this or not. Really? Because he's just talking about himself. He's just talking about his performance and how well he's done, and he's exalted himself and his accomplishments, but his prayer is empty of God. In contrast, the tax collector, he wants the ear of God. That's what he wants. He barely came in the door. He's out at a distance. He's bowing down. He's beating his breast. And he honestly says, "I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark. I've cheated people. I've done wrong. I've said wrong things." Wasn't it beautiful when Ed was just talking to us as men, and then Victoria is us here in the room as women, and some of the heartaches we have and some of the brokenness of our lives. And this is the way the tax collector came to God. He came full of God. Now the results are obvious. The Pharisee really didn't even pray to God, so there was no answer. He just prayed about himself. He just compared himself to everybody else, and he came out better than most people. The tax collector, on the other hand, asked for mercy. He needed mercy. I want to tell you, every one of us in the room needs mercy. We need it every day. And isn't it wonderful? The Old Testament says his mercies, plural, are new every morning. I need new mercies every morning. So do you. And when we pray humbly, God hears and answers. He went home justified, Jesus says. He was declared righteous in God's sight. The other man, not so much. When you analyze it, it's obvious that the reason the Pharisee's prayer was not answered was because he didn't ask for anything, but he's comparing himself to everybody. He's basing his whole prayer on externals. He's got a twisted mind, and he's very, very haughty. He has no humility in his praying. One of the rabbis said, if there are only two righteous men in the world, I and my son are these two. If there is only one, I am he. And that's the way Pharisees thought. And that's why God didn't answer their prayers, because they really didn't think they needed God. They could do it on their own, thank you very much. And they were very pleased with their performance. Sad thing is, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, if you don't care if your prayers are answered, and you really only pray it out loud to impress other people, then follow the pattern of the Pharisee. Jesus said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And again, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Is that not the most striking thing? They have received their reward in full on the earth? Because they were recognized as somebody who prayed? And then he says also, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I think of those prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in the Old Testament who were going at it all day long and couldn't get Baal to answer their prayer, because Baal doesn't really exist, of course. And then Elijah, in contrast, just says, oh, douse water on it a few times, and then just prayed a very simple prayer, and God brought fire from heaven on the altar. We need to pray like tax collectors. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. As you pray, and I know you do, you're good folks, set aside time to pray. Pray humbly. As I said earlier, I really believe some of my best prayers have been prayed in desperation, when I just really didn't know how to pray anymore. And Romans says the Holy Spirit interprets even our groanings. It is about relationship, as Ed said. You and I have a heavenly Father who is almighty, and he hears and answers prayer. In Revelation, it's pictured as incense going right up to heaven. Let's pray like that. Let's make 2023 a year when we pray like that. Often. Dear Lord, thank you for being a God who hears and answers our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way maker. As we go out rejoicing today, that you're a prayer answering God. And that's why we believe in prayer. We believe that you exist and you reward those who earnestly seek you. And we come to you humbly, and not in pride. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our desperate cries. Thank you, Lord, for receiving our praise. Help us to get to know you better, that we'll have even more confidence in prayer and in you, because you began the good work in us, and you'll keep working until the day of Christ Jesus. In his name.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.